Welcome to the OKC First podcast.
Together, we're learning to do three things.
Friendship with God.
Friendship with one another.
And open friendship for the sake of the world.
For more information about OKC First,
please visit OKCFirst.com.
Today's scripture comes from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, musicians. Thank you to that wonderful scripture reading. That, everybody, is Jason's mom. Welcome to Oklahoma. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the faithful resistance. Amen. We are in a really fun sermon series entitled Faith is a Team Sport. The first half was subtitled This is Who We Are. The second half is entitled This is What We Do. We thought this was a great mini-season, to show you the different things that we are doing. Now, this is not all, but each week we have a different ministry area that is highlighted, and today it is the children's ministry. What a perfect time. Great entrance, Lisa. Today it is the... today is our children's ministry. Wait. Fun. Nazarene's dancing on the screen on Sunday morning. I am grateful for Lisa Sanders, and you're going to hear that a lot today. It is not easy to be a minister to children and their families. It's not easy. Because if you think about it, your words are so important. Everybody knows that these are tender ages, right? Everybody knows, and parents with some terror, we know that the things we say and the things that we say without our lips moving, right, can have a lasting impact on a child. I remember things that were said to me as a child. I remember saying things that I regret as a parent. And so I appreciate Lisa Sanders and all the intentionality that goes into children's ministry at Oklahoma City First Church. For example, every year, the junior leaders group takes a little retreat. And during this retreat, they always go to a dance hall, right? That's where they practice those moves, I guess, right? But they go to a dance hall and they learn, they get a lesson, like a real life lesson in ballroom dancing. So that afterwards, Lisa can say, God, being Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, can be understood as a dance. Father, Son, Spirit, mutuality, giving themselves to one another. That is a dance. And here's the best part, kids. You're invited always to that dance. How cool is that? And so our kids, all of those who have been in junior leaders, are raised with this particular image of God. that God is a dance and you're always invited. I'm just curious. If you have ever been in this junior leaders ministry or you have had a child in this junior leaders ministry, would you stand up right now? Stand up wherever you are. Everybody, look. Lisa, look. Look at this. Thank you. Yes. Lisa seems to understand what the book of James is trying to help us all understand, and that's this, that words are important. And here's why words are important. Here's why words are important, because God intends for us to understand that our words are important. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, the creation narrative. Everybody understands this is the creation narrative. God says, I need a co-creator. I need a co-creator. Says this, let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Later on in the creation story, God will say, hey, why don't you name all of the creatures? And in so doing, God hands off some of that creative responsibility, creating responsibility. Did you know that you continue to have co-creative responsibility with God? It's one of the greatest, most beautiful gifts that we are given. We are given the capacity to create, and our mouths create all the time. Our mouths create all the time. Sometimes our mouths create new situations. Now, maybe you can see it most clearly when I get to stand up here and I say something like, I now pronounce you man and wife. I'm telling you, reality changes after I say that for that couple, right? Or what if you're in a baptismal pool, right? It is supposed to change reality a little bit when Lisa says, or I say, or Zach says here pretty soon, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your world changes after that. It has been in the past that people would actually change their names because so much changes in the baptismal pool. It's not just in church, though, right? When the judge brings a gavel down and yells at the same time, guilty, he or she has created something there, right? And you can sense it even in a smaller scale, can't you? If you, in a moment of heat and anger, say to someone that you love, no, I hate you. That creates a specific kind of reality, right? Because it turns out you are gifted the capacity with your words to create. And sometimes we human beings use that power beautifully, Lisa. And sometimes, as James is going to complain now, we use that power to decreate, and we use it terribly. Church, I want you to feel the weight of all of this. It's not just about the preacher today. It's all about all of us who want to wear the t-shirts of Christianity, who want to fly the flags and wear the symbols of Christianity. You all are given the divine gift of creativity to create. My question for us is, are you using it well? Are you using it intentionally? Or are you a little bit like Justine Sacco? Oh man, this is a terrible story. And some of you have heard it. Back in 2013, this 30-year-old woman, who was at the time, I kid you not, the senior director of corporate communications for her company, she got on a plane to make the long trip down to South Africa, where she was gonna be with family for the holidays. Here was the first thing that she tweeted. Hey, weird German dude, you're in first class, it's 2014, get some deodorant. The next thing she tweeted was, chili, cucumber sandwiches, bad teeth, back in London. And then she said this, you can't read it, so I'll give it to you. Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white. She only had 170 Twitter followers, which, if you're unfamiliar with Twitter, that's not that many. That's kind of a small-ish sort of circle, but she unleashed these words into that circle, and enough of her followers were bothered by it that they just sort of forwarded it along. And y'all, by the time she landed in South Africa 11 hours later, she realized that she had created a very different reality. She was fired by the time she landed in South Africa. She had been ostracized by the time she had landed in South Africa. And if you are there folding your arms saying, yep, there it was, the beginning of cancel culture, you may have a point there, but I want to say something to us. That's always been the case, really. It's not a recent phenomenon. We have always had the possibility, the capacity to say terrible things and change creation. We've also had the capacity to say really good things and enhance God's creation, right? In this particular way, though, in this particular moment, there was a worldwide hashtag that went something like this, hashtag has Justine landed yet, because the world turned on her because of the rock that she threw into this pond. Scripture seems to understand that with our mouths, we can do great good and great harm. Psalm 141, verse 3, dear God, set a guard over my mouth. Oh, Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. That's probably a pastor who had a terrible sermon. We've already heard this from Ephesians chapter 4. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up as they're in need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Earlier in the book of James, it was as poignant and as pointed as this. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Let's go ahead and establish here and now that we're talking about words and speech, but we're not just talking about the things that you say, we're also talking about the things that you type, the things that you post. Oh, here he goes again. Yeah, y'all, this is how we talk these days. And so we need to make sure that that speech too falls under the lordship of Christ. Would you say amen to that? What are you doing with your divinely given gift of creating creativity? You just heard this verse read. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. But that same sentence could have been read, do not become many teachers, that is, don't turn into a community that thinks that you all can or even should teach. I'm here to tell you, with the onset of social media, everybody gets not only a microphone, but somehow fake credibility. What are you doing with your microphone? What are you doing with your capacity to speak or teach or preach? Verse 2, all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with the bridle. And if we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, these giant ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them. They are guided by a very small rudder on the bottom, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. James wants to remind us, remember, you are made in the image of God. And when you are made in the image of God, that doesn't just speak to your shape, right? It also speaks to your function. Made in the image of God means that you are put in a place of dominion. Now we need to understand this word dominion, a place of servant, loving, sacrificial leadership and responsibility for creation. That's what that means. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Verse 9, with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we post awful things about the people who don't vote like us. Oh wait, that's Middendorf Revised Standard Version. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, we shouldn't have the wars that we have on social media. We shouldn't. Let me be more direct with it. My brothers and sisters, y'all need to stop participating in those wars. But I have my opinions. Yes. And in a sermon series entitled, the faith is a team sport and subtitled, this is what we do. Here is what we do sometimes. Ready? Here's what we do. Ready? We stop talking. We stop talking. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? No. Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or grapevine figs? No. No more can salt water yield fresh. Yeah, but I keep my opinion sort of segmented. I'm talking about this only. Not all of this over here, all of this. But all of this represents you and God. And it is in one way or another, your representation of your stewardship of the gift that you've been given. No matter the subject matter. Read this guy this week. Looks like a nice guy, doesn't he? The real peril of the tongue is not found in the passing angry word or the incidental oath or the petty bit of slander. It is found in the creation of distorted worlds of meaning within which the word of truth is suppressed. We say this every time I have opportunity to talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. Listen, again, I am not advocating that you should swear. In fact, let me say it just as clear as I know how, looking at the camera, please do not start swearing. But taking the Lord's name in vain means assigning the Lord's name and character to a campaign, to a cause, and to an issue that does not originate with God. When you claim that it does, when you claim that your side is somehow the divine right, that is taking the Lord's name in vain. And by the way, when you say those things, you create a bit of creation that is not going to function according to the heartbeat of God, understood most clearly when kids are dancing at the invitation of God. But you know I'm not just talking about posting, right? Here's the hard part. I'm talking about every word that I understand that I'm responsible for every word that I utter up here, but also when I'm not up here, because I'm still a pastor. Reality check, everybody. You may not be the pastor of a church. You are absolutely just as responsible for your speech in every conversation. Sometimes the conversations you think matter the least matter the most. Your exchanges with a complete stranger, your exchanges with an enemy or an opposite, your exchanges with your closest friend, your family, your mouth is creating something every single time. What world are you creating as you exercise your gift of creativity, divinely given? This is why I appreciate Lisa, Pastor Lisa Sanders, so much. She is, of course, careful with her words, but she is very intentional as well. She sent me this week a video used in an elementary school to try to explain evil to kids, and it was awful. It gives you the impression that evil has the upper hand. Can I say something to you? Evil does not have the upper hand, and all God's people said, we dare not say to kids or leave them with the impression that evil has the upper hand. You know why? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. She's very, very intentional with her words. In fact, I would submit that those who speak to children have this incredibly, incredibly heavy burden, because we already know those who speak to children have the potential to do great harm and great good. I don't know why this hit me like it did this week, but it hit me, and this is going to be goofy. I don't know how you're going to think about me after I say this, but I saw this week, and I got choked up. Let me see how it hits you.
You got a second? Okay. You remember how when we were younger, we used to run around and hang out with Blue and find clues and talk to Mr. Salt and freak out about the mail and do all the fun stuff? And then one day I was like, oh, hey, guess what? Big news. I'm leaving. This is my brother Joe. He's your new best friend. And then I got on a bus and I left. And we didn't see each other for like a really long time. Can we just talk about that? Great. Because I realized that was kind of abrupt. I just kind of got up and went to college. And that was really challenging, by the way, but great because I got to use my mind and take a step at a time, and now I literally am doing many of the things that I wanted to do. And then look at you, and look at all you have done, and all you have accomplished in all that time. And it's just so amazing, right? I mean, we started out with clues, and now it's what? Student loans, and jobs, and families, and some of it has been kind of hard. You know? I know you know. And I wanted to tell you that I really couldn't have done all of that without your help. And in fact, all the help that you helped me with when we were younger is still helping me today, right now. And that's super cool. I guess I just wanted to say that after all these years, I never forgot you, ever. And I'm super glad we're still friends. Thanks for listening. You look great, by the way. Whatever it is you're doing, it's working.
I remember watching my kids watch Blue's Clues. John, that's not a Christian show. No. But I think you can see the gift of creative speech exercised by people who aren't necessarily trying to evangelize in that moment, right? In fact, I would say this. What was created there was good. In fact, I would say this. Perhaps we Christians need to be on the lookout for good and creative speech that creates a better world and a better reality, whether or not it's coming from people who are wearing our colors. In fact, maybe you and I should be careful to point out when it is that destructive, decreative speech is being used, even and perhaps especially when the people using the words are wearing our colors. I mentioned it briefly, but I want to say it again as we close. God, sanctify our mouths and our words. May we create as you create. May we create what you want us to create. And sometimes we do that when we stop talking. There is a place for divine silence. Though we are given this gift, there is a place for divine silence. And one of those places is around this table. Do you notice that at this table, you aren't so much given words to say, but you're always giving words to shut up and hear. To hear. Sometimes we do our best Christian work, not easy for the pastor to say, ready, not when we're all flapping our jaws. Sometimes I do my best pastoring, my best believing, my best faithing when I'm finally quiet enough to get out of the way and let God speak. Because God, too, has the capacity to create and recreate with a word. And God wants to create something for us, perhaps in a small way here tonight, this morning. If you do not yet have communion elements, would you please go and get some? Or if you'll just wait, we'll make sure that somebody brings them to you. But I want you to recognize here in this moment, we've had this entire sermon about the use of divine speech, the powerful use of divine speech, sometimes powerfully good, sometimes powerfully bad. And yet, here in this moment, I want to ask us all to stop talking and to allow God to speak in and through the silence. And so, God, bless these elements as we are silent. In these quiet moments, God, may we hear you speak. In these quiet moments, God, may we finally recognize the power that we have to co-create with our words. In these quiet moments, God, may we also understand the power of silence when we finally allow you to speak. So with these elements, God, grant us the capacity to be silent and to listen and to hear as you remind us all over again of the stories that make you, you, and us, us. It was on the night he was betrayed that our Savior took bread. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body broken for you. And every time you eat of it, remember me." And now, church, I would invite you to be silent, but to break and eat. The same way after dinner, he took the cup and he held it before them and said, "And this is my blood, the blood of a new covenant, blood now shed for you. And every time you drink of it, including today, be reminded of the words that I speak," says God, "the new reality that I create when I speak a word. Be reminded of this new covenant." And so now, church, if you would, take and drink. Heavenly Father, now in these moments of silence, as I get out of the way, grant us the courage to sit and listen as you draw our minds back over this past week and the different ways that we have used speech and our words to create a good thing or perhaps a terrible thing. God, in your grace, you are drawing us toward confession. Build within us the capacity to reflect and see when we have used this gift of creativity well, but also the capacity to see when we have used it poorly. And then give us the courage to confess in the hopes that in our confessing, we can be drawn closer to what it is that you dream for us as co-creators. May the Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
As we continue in these moments of prayers of intercession, I just want to continue with what Pastor John has been leading us towards in these moments. So yes, I'm going to say some prayers for some folks that we love, but I want us to just have a moment of silence for you to bring to God whatever you need to bring to God. As I've been saying for a few months now, I feel like every time I talk to each of you individually, we are all carrying something that we cannot carry alone. And so in these moments of silence, would you carry some of those moments to God? Perhaps in these moments of silence, God will speak to you in these moments of prayer. So for about a minute, let's just listen to God and give what we need most for God to come and rescue us from in our lives or those we love to him. So continue in prayer for about a minute of silence. And now would you join me in prayer as we pray for a few folks in the life of our fellowship who need significant touches from God. And so, God, we do ask that you would come alongside of some of those we love. God, we ask that you would be with Pam Glass as I deliver the difficult news in this prayer that Tom Glass passed away this week. God, would you surround Pam with your love, with all who have loved Tom and all who've been loved by Tom. God, we ask for your grace to come alongside these difficult days. God, we ask that you be with Amber Knapp. It's just yesterday, her grandfather passed away, I think in the wee hours of the morning this morning. God, would you surround Amber's grandmother and her whole family in this loss? God, we love the Knapp family. I ask you to be with Amber and Troy. God, we ask that you would come alongside of the Fain family. Many of you know that Betty and Glenn are up near Wichita, spending time with a daughter there. In these last few days, it's been hard times for Glenn. And then Pastor John and Aaron and I got a text this morning that Betty's in the ICU after having what they believe to be a series of mini strokes. You all, most of you, if you've been here, you know the Fains, you know where they right where they sit. God, we ask that you would come alongside of all the Fains and surround Betty with your healing, Glenn with your healing, and the whole family with your love. God, we ask that you would touch and bless the Fains. God, as I look back in the corner of our church, I see the Winslow family. And God, we offer our prayers for Carolyn Winslow, Carolyn Fielding, their daughter. And God, we ask for your touch on her life and your healing on her life, and that your love and grace would be with her even now. God, we ask that you'd come alongside of Dennis Bratcher. He's had surgery this week and recovering, hopefully going home tomorrow. God, would you be with our prof, Dr. Bratcher, and Robin, as she loves and cares for Dennis. Would you be with them? God, I ask that you would be with Abby Sneed, one of our college students whose mother's in the hospital. God, would you be near to her mother, close by her side, and God, that you would be with Abby. God, we ask, as we've been asking for a few weeks now, that you'd come alongside of my wife's mom, Katie Farmer, for her healing. That you'd be with Gerald and Frida Human each and every day. That you'd be with Angela Adams. And you'd be with one of our members who not very many people know, but is a member here, and Norm Gaines, as Jeremy Miller's grandfather, who's been battling cancer for quite some time, is now on hospice care. That God, you would surround Linda, you would surround Norm, and your grace would be nearby to all in that family and all the Miller family. God, we ask that you come alongside of those who have had complications due to COVID and struggling with that even now in the hospital. And God, situations around the world where we need your peace. God, it just seems like there's so much. So we ask, God, that you would wrap all of it, all of our cares and concerns, and God, even our enemies, in your love and your care and for grace. Now, church, would you pray with me this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? It's on the screen in front of you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.